chapter 1. If you weren't here last week, we began a new series entitled Like a Child, and looking at Christmas and looking at the Lord through the eyes of a child. We're turning to Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, down to verse number 23. And read with me. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I want to speak from that last portion, that last verse. He said his name will be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Last week, our subject was how God is for me. Today, I want to speak on the subject that God is with me. God is with me. And we're going to pray, and then we'll get right into this, and I am going to be conscious of the time. And what that means is I'll know what time it is. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us today. I pray, Lord, that you will challenge us. And I pray, Lord, most of all, that you will bring an assurance within our hearts. Lord, I pray that in each individual situation, Lord, you know exactly what we need. And I pray now in Jesus' name that you'll take your word and speak to each need. And Lord, help us to grow in you. Help us to come closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Our big idea for this series is taken from a passage that is quite familiar to us, and we're going to be looking at it in each one of our messages in the series. It's in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and beginning at verse 13. I've got it on the screen in the New Living. It says that one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. And I'm going to kind of give you the summary of the story. What happens is, They're bringing the children to Jesus because he's the rabbi, he's the teacher, he's famous. They want him to bless them, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the disciples began to get angry. They said, Jesus is too important for children. Jesus has big people stuff to do. Jesus should be dealing with the people who are most important. That's not the children, that's not the babies. But I want you to notice what the Bible says about Jesus. In verse 14, it says that when Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry. Angry. And he said to them, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. Why? For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. That's why we're talking about like a child. Because sometimes we feel like if I'm going to get anything from God or have a relationship with God, that I have to be able to rationalize and theorize everything. But a child doesn't work like that. A child has simple faith. Those of you who have been privileged to have children, you know there's a point in your child's life where your child thinks you have all the money in the world. It doesn't matter what that new toy costs, they think you've got the money to buy it. They don't understand a budget. They don't understand spreading the money around to where it needs to go. All they think of is, I want the toy. You know, they don't understand that you can only go out to eat so many times in the month. Why can't we go to McDonald's every day? There's a couple of reasons for that. First of all, it's not good for you. And secondly, it adds up. But they don't get that. They just look at their mom or their dad and say, they are loaded. That's what they do. My mom and my dad are loaded. And then when they get in trouble, I remember as a child, there were all kinds of boys in our neighborhood, and we used to get together, and we did what boys do. We fought. And so, you know, the ultimate threat was, I'm going to go get my dad. And the other kid would say, I'm going to go get my dad. You know, and the poor fathers, if they ever had to come out and fight. But we thought they were giants. We thought that my dad can do anything. And if we come to Jesus as he wants us to, we come as a little child who believes that my daddy, my heavenly father, is big enough to protect me. My heavenly father is big enough that he can supply for me. My heavenly father cares about me. That's like a child. And so today, we've looked at how God is for me. Today we're looking at how God is with me. And I want you to say that with me. Would you? God is with me. Now last week I had you take your finger, point it to yourself, and kind of poke yourself to remind you. Would you do that again? I know it's kind of funny, but poke yourself. God is with me. Say it again. God is with me. So God is for me, and God is with me. God is with me. He's not just everywhere. We talked recently about how God is everywhere present. That's called the omnipresence of God, and it's an important concept. That anywhere you go, God is already there. That's important. But there's something more important than that. It's an aspect of it, and it's this. Have you ever gone to lunch with somebody? Now, all you, well, I was going to say all the wives, but wives do this too, and significant others do this. So here we go. Ever go to lunch with someone? And the whole time you were at lunch, you know what they were doing? You know, when they get older, they're going like this. And they're... And you ever want to just say, put the phone down? The person is there with you, but they're not really with you. Hey, now. I'm hearing too many amens coming from back from my wife here. They're there, but they're not really with you. But when we say that God is with you, it means more than that God is in the vicinity. It means that God is really there with you. That you have his attention. That he is invested and involved in what is going on at that moment. He's a personal God who is with me. And I want you to think, I remember one time, because presence really matters to a child. I remember one time years ago, my brother and I have a brother that's 16 months younger than I am. And we were at home. We were probably 10, 11 years old. It was a different time. You know, the things parents would let their do in those days at early ages. And so we were home in the afternoon by ourselves for a short time. I would have been probably 9 or 10. He was probably 8 or 9. And we were home for a very short time. And our house was a bungalow. And there was a door where you went down to the basement. And the basement really wasn't finished. They stored stuff down there, and it was kind of dark in places. And so we were in the house, and we thought we heard something moving in the basement. Anybody ever had that experience? Come on. Some of you had that experience this week. Okay, so we thought there was something. We thought we heard something in the basement. So the basement door had a lock on it, so we hit the lock. And, you know, we're, you know, 8, 10 years old. And so I went and grabbed my hockey stick. And my brother, he went and grabbed another one. And we're standing there, and if something had come through the door, I'm really not sure if they would have got hurt or if we'd have hurt each other. We were scared. I don't really know why we thought that we had to stay there. We should have just got out of the house. But we were scared. Fortunately, our mother came shortly thereafter and we were relieved. Because we were scared. Because we were alone in the house. And it was even daytime, I freely admit that. Have you ever felt that kind of fear? That fear that you heard something, there's something that's happening, and you don't really understand what it is? But as soon as somebody else comes into the room, it's altogether different. As soon as somebody else takes you by the hand, as soon as somebody pats you on the back and says, there is no problem, you begin to calm down. Well, let me tell you about God. God not only fills everywhere, but God is with me, and His presence matters. You know, when your children are young, sometimes even when they're older, but when they're young, and it begins to thunder and lightning, and the very first thing they do, you hear little pitter-patter, little feet coming into your bedroom in the middle of the night. Mommy, Daddy, it's thunder and lightning. And there's all kinds of explanations for it. You know, my parents told me one time, the angels are bowling, that's why the thunder. All kinds of explanations. And we send them back to their bed, and then a few minutes later, a big crash again, and they're in the bed again. And so finally you give in because they just want to be near you. The thunder is still as loud. The lightning still as bright. But because they are near you, do you know that your Heavenly Father, when you're going through the middle of terrifying times, or when you're in the midst of a time when the thunder and lightning seems to be going, that your Heavenly Father says, I want you to be near me. I want you to be close to me. God is with me. I love this promise from God. Isaiah 41, verse number 10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged. Why? For I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. You know, God was saying, I'm not just going to be up in heaven somewhere, but I am with you. And because I am with you, you do not need to live in fear. Fear. And then God doubles down on that. When you come to the New Testament, look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. I was reading it in the King James, and I read it in the New Living, and then I went over to the Message. And that's where I landed. So let's read it in the Message. He said, don't be obsessed with getting material things. Be relaxed with what you have. Or as the King James says, be content. And look at this next part. Since God assured us, I will never let you down. I'll never walk off and leave you. I've come here today for somebody that you've been telling yourself that God has left you. But the one way we know that God speaks into our lives perfectly is through His Word. And His Word says, I will never walk off and I will never leave you. And so if you're here today and you're telling yourself, God is nowhere near, Let me remind you that God says, I will not leave you. And when the enemy comes and says, you've done too many bad things in your life, or you've done something that's displeasing to God, and God's left you, God said, I will never, 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 never. I want somebody to get this today. God said, I will never. But we say, but God, this one time's doing. No, he said, I will never leave you. I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. Look at verse 6. So we can boldly quote the King James, so we can boldly say, God is there, ready to help. So I'm, you notice a common thread here? So I'm fearless, no matter what. Who or what can get to me? Because God is not only for me. God's not just for me in heaven. God's not just for me in some abstract way. But God is for me, and God is with me. Hallelujah. You see, there's something spectacular about that when we grasp it. Because if God was only for me but not with me, there's delayed reaction time. If God was with me but not for me, you ever been with somebody who's not for you? That's painful. But God said, I am not only with you, I am for you. And when I understand that God is with me and God is for me, and when you put those two things together, that's why we're starting out with these two things. When you put these two things together, it's powerful. Because if you don't understand that God is for me, saying God is with me really doesn't pack a punch. Because if God is not for me, I don't care if he's with me. Some of you are looking at me like, I don't know. You see, I want to know. What's important to me is not just that God is with me, but I want to know that God is for me. Because if God is both of those things, he has my best interests at heart. And God, we quoted last week, if God be for me, who can be against me? But if God is for me and with me, it packs power within my life. God is for me. God is with me. But sometimes we don't really believe it. We get an intellectual kind of on paper theological understanding. We can quote the verses. Say, yeah, God's everywhere. We can give theological explanations. But can you, like a child, simply dare to believe God is with me? God is with me. Without trying to explain and extrapolate and trying to prove anything. It's just that God is with me. And here's how I know God is with me. Because he said, I'm with you. It doesn't get any better than that. God said, I will be with you. In the Old Testament, sometimes when God said, I'm with you, it would mean I'm for you and I'm on your side, and God is on your side. But in the New Testament, when we read the Christmas story, the story of the birth of Christ, the angel said, first of all, you are going to call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I know at Christmas we've got, you know, we have wreaths up here. We got lights. You're going to walk through the store and you're going to hear, you know, pa-ra-pa-pum-pum, ra-pa-pum-pum, ra-pa-pum-pum. You're going to hear all of that. You're going to see reindeers and frosties and all the rest of it, and this, you know what? There's nothing wrong with all of that. Only when we forget that Christmas is not about even giving presents. Christmas is more than being together with family. Christmas is about more than the tinsel and the excitement. But Christmas is about the fact that God is uniquely with us. When Jesus came, he came as God in the flesh. He came to live and dwell among us, to identify with us. See, it's really important we understand that Jesus was both human and divine. Because when we make him all divine, we miss the fact that he identifies with us and he feels for us. When we make him all human, we take away his divinity. And he becomes just a man that was anointed. But Jesus was more than that. He was God with us. And John starts out his gospel, it's not going to be on the screen, but John starts out his gospel by saying that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then in verse 14 he said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He said, God is with us. Think about that. Bethlehem was about God with us. Somebody made this statement, and we're going to put it on the screen, that Bethlehem was God with us. Calvary was God for us. And Pentecost is God in us. I want you to think about that. At Bethlehem, God is with us. At Calvary, it was all about God is for us. But at Pentecost, it was about God is in us. And there's some really important things about this that we need to understand. So you see, when Jesus lived among us, when he was physically among men, and he gave his life on the cross, he was raised from the dead, he said, I'm going to send my Spirit to live in you. And I'm not just going to be at your side. I'm going to be in you. He told his disciples, they were weeping and they were feeling badly. And he said, I have been with you, but I shall be in you. And the promise of Pentecost is that it's not only about a physical presence beside you, but it's about God's presence within your life. I ask you this question, have you experienced the fullness of God in you in Pentecost? So if God is with us, what does it mean to us? I'm going to go through this very quickly. There are several things I want to mention. One, because God is with me, I can talk to him. I can talk to him. He's your heavenly Father, you're his child. And you do not have to get some kind of stylized prayer. Sometimes we don't pray because we say, well, I don't know how to pray. You do not need to pray. Our dear, gracious, heavenly, eternal Father, omnipotent, omnipresent, dwelling in the far reaches of eternity among the cherubim and the seraphim, and Lord, we thus cometh to thee today. You know, you don't have to pray in King James language. I'm sorry if that offended anybody's doctrine, but you don't. You see, some of the very simplest prayers are the most powerful. The kind of prayers that says, Jesus, I don't really know how to do this, but help me now. Lord, I trust you that you're able to do something within my life. And you can talk to him like you talk to a father. You can tell him what's going on in your mind. You can use your words, your language. And talk to him as you would talk to a friend, as you would talk to a father. Say, what do I pray about? Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I love this in the New Living. I'd read this scripture every week if it wouldn't seem redundant. Look at this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Say, what do I pray about? Pray about everything. You'll never run out of things to pray for. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. That's what prayer's about. We give praise. We tell Him what we need. We thank Him for what He's done. And we pray about everything. And you know, brothers and sisters, if we would pray before we act instead of act and then pray. Oh, I want you to stop just a minute on that one. If we would pray and get advice before we act, instead of acting and then praying that the consequences of our decision don't come around, we'd be much better off. I can pray. I tell God what I need. And then notice, and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace. Peace. The second thing, because God is with me, I can listen to Him. They say if you want to learn, you need to listen. Ever tried to help somebody and they wouldn't let you get a word in edgewise? Somebody said that God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth so we'd listen twice as much as we talk. Don't know if that's true or not, but I need to listen to Him. That's not being spooky. But we believe that God is for me, God is with me, and that God can speak to me. How does He do that? The first way He does that is through His Word. That's why it's so important to read the Bible. And we're getting close to the end of our Bible reading program for this year, and you still have time to catch up if you're behind. But read the Bible. God speaks to us through His Word. I've read the Bible through, I don't know how many times now. It's a lot of times. And every time that I read it through, I discover something different. Last night, I finished up my Bible reading for the year, the 1 year through the Bible thing. I finished that up, so I decided I'm going to do the new through 30 days through the New Testament in French. And it's taking me longer. I'm slower. But I had my headphones on listening to somebody read it, and I'm reading it as they're reading it. I'm reading on the page, and you know what? They were reading along, and all of a sudden they came to a part, and I'm like, wow. I've read that hundreds of times. It never jumped out at me like this did. You see, every time you read, God has something that He wants to speak into your life. God can speak through His Word. Sometimes there have been people who have heard an audible voice. I never have. He speaks through His Word. He can speak through people, a word fitly spoken. He can speak to you through His Spirit, through that spiritual connection, that still small voice in your spirit. But the simplest thing you can do, and if you don't think you've ever heard God's voice, here's what I want you to do when you get home. Get a piece of paper and a pen and just pray and say, God, who do you want me to pray for? And then just don't say anything more. Take your pen and start writing down the names that come flooding into your mind. And if you really want to get fancy, what do you want me to pray for? And if you really want to get blessed, call one of those people and say, I prayed for you today. And you'll discover that very often they'll say, wow, that's really neat because I'm in the middle of something right now. And just to know that somebody is praying for me, you can hear from God. Isaiah 30 verse 21 says, your own ears will hear Him. The next thing, because God is with me, I receive from Him. The problem for us as adults is we have a struggle to receive things. We're very good on the giving end. But somebody wants to give you something, you know what we do? Oh, I really can't. No. How many of you have done that? Would you raise your hand? Be honest if you've done that. Somebody wants to give you something. They want to give you money, and you're like, I don't need your money. I got pride. Or they want to help you, and you say, and you're desperate for help, but especially you guys, you're desperate for help, but you're stuck in the middle of it, and you're working away at it, and you, they say, can I help you? And you say, oh, it's okay, I got it. Just be a few more minutes here. Yeah, that's us. But God gives. And a child is so good at receiving. You bring them a present, they don't say, oh, no, you shouldn't have. I can't accept that. No. You know what they do? Bring it on. And then when they open that one, they say, got any more? I want you to think about your Heavenly Father. You see, sometimes we think that our Heavenly Father is a tightwad, a cheapskate. That he either doesn't have or doesn't want to give. But Jesus said, your Heavenly Father is more willing to give than you're able to receive. And when I know that God is with me, here's the other thing I know. I can enjoy being in his presence. I can enjoy just being with God. And today, as we stand together, I was traveling this fall, and it happens quite often that when I travel, my wife's not able to go with me. And I was in the city of Indianapolis, and I had checked in and for a conference, and I went to the hotel room, and it was a beautiful room. I mean, you looked out the window, you saw the ballpark, and you saw the museums, and it's very picturesque. And it was just really nice. So I called my wife just to let her know I got to the hotel, and said, you know, we were talking, and she said, what's the room like? And I told her and sent her pictures and said, the only thing about it is, this would be so much better if you were here. I did, didn't I? Because here's the way I am. The first little while I'm traveling, it's great until I get there, and then it's like, if I'm traveling by myself, it's like, oh man, I want to go home. Not because of my house, because of who's there. Probably most of you feel that same way. And there in Indianapolis, another pastor, Mark Noel, was going to be staying with me. He was coming in the next day. And it wasn't like I was all alone, but it just wasn't right. I mean, you know, there were the two queen beds and all that. I know somebody here, when I said it wasn't right, I know. I saw the smiles. I saw the smiles. And even after he got there and there were all kinds of people around, I still wanted to come home. I was there until Saturday, got there on Sunday, there until Saturday. I was ready to come home on Tuesday, honestly. And it was a great conference and all that, but I was ready to come home on Tuesday. You know why? Because the one I cared about wasn't there with me. She said, are you going to go do this? Are you going to go? I said, I don't know. It's just like, you're not here. Do you know that God's presence in our lives should be like that? The Old Testament writers say, God, if you don't go with us, we're not going. Your presence is just that important to us. And I want to urge you and I want to challenge you today to understand that God's presence in your life is the presence of a loved one, like a beloved father. who's there to be with you and to be for you, and God who gave everything so that you could enjoy it. You start to realize it's not just in the church building. But when you go to work tomorrow and you're on the metro or you're going in your car, that God is with you. When you're in the staff meeting and it's not going so well, God is with you. When you face a dilemma, God is with you. But when you're on top of the mountain, God is still there with you. And it's time to say, God, you did a good job. Thank you. God, you're with me. God is with me. Psalm 16, verse 8, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he's right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety. In verse 11, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence. His presence is with you. But God wants his Spirit to be in you. As we get ready to pray, we always have a prayer time. You might be here today and you're estranged from God. Maybe you had a relationship with God, but it's been a while. And God is still there and God is still with you, and God is certainly still for you, but you put distance between you and God emotionally and spiritually. Today, I want to challenge you to accept this very fact that God is with you. God is for you. God is even speaking into your life today. The very fact that we're together is not by accident. God is at work. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. There's some of you that may be hurting this morning and you need God's presence. You need his comfort. I want you today to invite God to manifest his presence within your life. There's peace. There's comfort. And if you want God's peace, and I think that should be all of us, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Before we go any further, I just want you to lift your hands. That means, God, I'm reaching out to you. I just want you to lift your hands right now. And I think every hand should be lifted. We all need God's peace and comfort. Would you just invite God? Would you just tell him, God, let your peace flow through my life. Jesus, I recognize your presence here today. Let your peace flow through my life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I recognize your presence within my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. Before we even go any further, just go ahead and receive from the Lord right now. Go ahead. This isn't about me and what I can do. It's about what God wants to do right now. For somebody, God wants to restore you. God wants to restore you. God wants to cause his presence to flow through your life at this moment in time. God wants to restore you and touch you right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let him speak into your life. Let his Spirit bring peace. You may be here this morning and you need that forgiveness of sins. God is here. He's here to forgive you. That's God with you. If you'll ask him. You might be here today and you've never received the baptism of the Spirit that is truly Christ in you. That hope of glory. But today, God's presence is here to fill you. Join with me as we pray. Jesus, thank you for your presence that speaks and moves. Thank you, Lord, that right now you are at work within our lives. And Lord, whether it's through hurt or through pain, Lord, or whether it's in victory and in joy, Lord, you're at work in our lives right now because you are for us. You're with us. And Lord, your plan was to bring us close to you. That's why you went to the cross. That's why you died. You rose again to give us hope. Lord, I pray that in every life here today, I pray that in somebody right now, Jesus, that there will be a restoration of that connection with you. That, Lord, today, I pray for that person that's never really known you. Lord, that's maybe been around church or heard about you, but never really known you. I pray today this will be the day of commitment. It says, Jesus, I need you in my life.
Hallelujah.
Oh, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we sing today. I want to invite you, if you need something from the Lord, I want to invite you to step out of your seat. There are going to be others that are going to be coming, but I want to invite you to come and to stand here at the front. It means I need something from God today. And I want to invite you to come and stand. Maybe it's time to finally make a commitment to put Jesus first. I want to invite you as we sing to come. If you're a follower,